Please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we are going to read verse 61 and 62. This is how the Word of God does read. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. I want to use this set of verses to preach on the topic, break to use. Our Father and our God, this morning I'm grateful for the mercy that was bestowed upon me. Thou hast given me the privilege this morning to minister to thy people. Holy Spirit of the living God, we now pray that thou would give me clarity of speech and illumination of thinking, that I can be able to make known the oracles of God to thy people. All these prayers I lay before thee, my Father, in the holy name of my Savior, my Lord Jesus. Amen. Home Improvement Project is one of my favorite pastimes. I'm always looking for something in my house to fix or to renovate, even if it is not needed. And the last project I embarked on, after convincing my wife of how much we needed to do it, was getting a new flooring installed in one of the rooms. Now, since it was a fairly huge project, I had to get some installers to actually come in to do it. And before they actually came in, we were advised to move some of our items around. And a day before installation, we had to relocate a few things. And among the things we relocated were items in our china cabinet. Items such as the playsets, glass cups, and knives. So my wife meticulously and judiciously wrapped each plate, glass cups, and placed them in a very secure place. Now, the reason she did this was obvious. China plates, as they are known, are very expensive and special. And in order to avoid damage, they needed to be handled with great care. But while we handle with great care things that are precious and special to us, God often breaks those things that are precious and special to him. Again, I need to repeat that. God often loves to break those things that are precious and special to him. Don't get it twisted this morning. The Christian life is not one that is stamped with the label fragile and with care. Rather, it is one that is stamped with the label, break to use. As someone once said, it is doubtful if God can truly use a person without first breaking him. Brokenness is a fragrance of delight to God, an aroma that is pleasing to him. As the psalmist will put it in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that I will not despise. Now, this does beg a question, at least to me. This is the question. Isn't it more logical for God to pamper those he loves and those he treasures, or those that are precious to him, like we pamper the things that are precious to us, in order to get the best out of those things, rather than to break us? Well, let me put it differently. Why is brokenness a necessity for discipleship? Well, to answer this question this morning, I want us to explore the profile of one biblical giant, a man by the name of Peter, the apostle. And from his experience, I really want to answer that question. Why brokenness is a necessity for discipleship? Or should I put it differently? Why God breaks those things that are precious to him? This brings us to the story of Peter. The story of Peter begins by the Sea of Galilee. According to the Gospel of Matthew, one day our Lord Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their net and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter immediately left his fishing profession and launched out with our Lord as one of his disciples. You know, the first observation here about Peter was that he was a man willing to leave everything behind for the sake of the gospel, an act that is very commendable, which unfortunately very few people today can do, even for Christ. So as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter began to distinguish himself from the other apostles. We know Peter to be self-assured, boisterous, always been the first to speak, and on occasion, he even rebuked the Lord Jesus. He became the de facto leader, so to say, of these apostles. And at Caesarea Philippi, Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus asked his disciples this question, he said, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And here comes Peter. And Peter, bold and courageous, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then the Lord Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, this is quite interesting, because the Lord Jesus here affirmed that on the confession that Peter made, that he is the Christ, he will build his church on that confession. But Peter is going to be instrumental in opening the doors of the church to the different subgroups that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we see this on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the first sermon, and we know that over 3,000 came to save in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see this a little further when the Samaritans or Samaritans began to believe. They were sent for Peter, and Peter became the apostle that opened the door that they can come in. Then we see this in the story of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile that when the angel appeared to him, he told him, "Go send message to Peter." And Peter became the vehicle through which the gospel came into the Gentile community. So definitely, the Lord Jesus affirmed here that he will give Peter the keys of the kingdom. But here, is Peter ready for this big task? Having been under the mentorship of the Lord Jesus for over 3 years, one of us or each of us will conclude that he's probably ready. At least it's only 3 years that you need to go to seminary to get a master's degree in divinity. then you are qualified to at least be a pastor if you so choose to do. But from God's perspective, Peter was not there yet. This is what's going to bring us to Luke chapter 22. Now, let's set the context in Luke 22. The Lord Jesus here had approached the crescendo of his ministry. And after the Last Supper, he said to Peter, not to no other disciple, but he said to Peter. And the reason I believe he said to Peter was because of what he said in Matthew 16, that Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. You are going to be instrumental in making my gospel known and letting all these persons into the kingdom. And here the Lord Jesus now will tell Simon Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter, known for being self-assured and very confident, said to the Lord, Lord, with you I am ready to go to prison and to death. What a big affirmation. And I truly believe Peter meant those words at that very moment. But the Lord reminded him of something else. He said, I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me. Later that evening, after Lord Jesus had been arrested and brought to the house of the high priest for questioning, Peter followed along. And the scripture reads that Peter was in the courtyard with the other men warming himself. And then there was this servant girl in around verse 56 that looked intensely at Peter and said to Peter, this man was with him too. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. Powerful statement here. Just as the Lord Jesus had predicted, Peter denied Jesus. He said, I do not know him. And a little later, we're told that another person looked at Peter and he said, you are one of them too. And Peter said, man, I'm not. And after that, an hour has passed, another person again looked at Peter, insisting, suddenly, this man also is with him. He is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, the writer of Luke writes, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. What a moment that must have been. The Lord turned back and looked at Peter. Here was a man that Peter worked with for over 3 years. Here was a man who loved Peter to the point of death. Here was a man that Peter vowed not to fail. But Peter denied the Lord Jesus. And the scripture now reads in 61, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before a cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Loved ones, through God's permissive will, Peter had failed. God had allowed Peter here to fail. But the failure became the conduit of his brokenness. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. The failure of Peter became the conduit of his brokenness. And the Greek word that's translated bitterly is a word that is called prakros. And this word means a violent, uncontrollable weeping which expressed despair. In other words, Peter was broken. He was so broken that he wept violently and uncontrollably because he had failed the Lord Jesus. He was completely broken. So from Peter's experience here, how or what can we now glean about brokenness? What then can we, how then can we understand how brokenness is a necessity for discipleship? Let me draw three things out for you this morning that you can really see from the brokenness of Peter here. The first thing is this. Brokenness is always designed to strip us of self-reliance. You want to write that down? Brokenness is always designed to strip us of self-reliance. Peter, before his failure, was self-assured and boisterous. Attitude that some of us might even perceive as great self-esteem. He confidently said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." But unbeknownst to him, that kind of attitude was prideful, was self-reliant. Peter was so self-assured within himself. Peter thought his own willpower could get him to do the work of the kingdom. And before he could embark on this great task that was before him, I believe God had to let him understand something about the work of ministry. God had to strip Peter down. He had to strip him of his pride. He had to strip him of his self-reliance. God had to make him understand the most important lesson in discipleship. That for you to walk with God, for you to serve the Lord, humility and complete reliance on God, it's the way to go. And Peter had to understand this. Peter had to understand. God had to break Peter to understand humility and reliance upon God. And loved ones, the same is true for each one of us. You know, our sin nature has deceived us at times into believing that we know it all or we can do it all and we got it under control. And at times we assume that we don't need God. But God knows best. And God will allow, again I say this very clearly, God will allow into our lives certain things in order to break us. God will allow certain things in order to strip us of our pride, to strip us of our self-reliance. It might be sickness. It might be a failed relationship. It might be unemployment. It might be a failed business venture. It might be a wayward child that you can fix, but it breaks you because you love that child and you want the best for that child, but yet he strays or she strays. And God allows that to break you of your self-reliance, to make you turn to him. God allows those things, I believe, this morning, in order to break us. Because God's desire is that we be fully, completely reliant upon him. We must completely rely upon God. And God's means of doing that is brokenness. Interestingly, Peter, when he now later wrote to the church or to believers in 1 Peter chapter 5, he told them in verse 5, he said, "Young man, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." Peter got it. Peter understood humility. He understood the need for you to walk before your God in humility. If not, God will break you to bring you to that understanding. There's a second thing here we can glean from Peter's experience. Brokenness is God's way of perfecting his strength within us. Again, you want to write that down. Brokenness is God's way of perfecting his strength within us. You know, God needed to perfect his strength in Peter before the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. God needed to perfect his power, his strength within Peter, because the task before Peter was huge as a disciple. But how would God do it? You know, God can only perfect his strength in weakness. Let me repeat that. God can only perfect his strength within us in weakness, because it's when we're weak that is when we're strong. But how then does God get to that point of weakness in us? He has to break us, to make us weak, so that he can perfect his strength within us. Paul understood this very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 3, Paul will say, I know, he said to us, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and had inexpressible words, which man is not permitted to speak. And on behalf of such a man, he said, I will boast. But then he goes further, he said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation that was given to me, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me or to buffet me. This was Paul, because Paul understood something here, that God allowed. God allowed some things into his life to keep him humble, because God wanted to perfect his strength in Paul. And Paul would now say that I prayed three times and I implored God three times that he will remove this from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Watch what God said to Paul. God said, power is perfected in weakness. The same exact thing that God wanted to do in Peter, he needed to perfect his power in Peter. He needed to perfect his strength in Peter. How do you do that? In weakness. And I tender to you this morning, loved ones, that the Lord still does the same for us. He does the same to us. God wants to perfect his strength within us. And in order to perfect his strength, God will allow brokenness. Again, listen to what I say. God will allow brokenness. God will allow some things into our life, some things that will keep us where he wants us, will keep us weak. It will keep us dependent upon it. But in our weakness, God's strength is now perfected. In our weakness, God's greatness is now manifested. In our weakness, God's power is displayed, that the world will know that it's not you, but it's God. And that is what God seeks from his own. He wants people to see him through your life. And for that to happen, God has to make us weak, because power is perfected in weakness. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning, brokenness ain't going nowhere. God will always use brokenness to get us to what or where he wants us to be. There's a third thing here I want you to pay attention to in this experience of Peter. Brokenness is designed to make us more empathetic to the frailties of others. Again, I want to pay attention to what I just said. Brokenness is designed to make us more empathetic to the frailty of others. You know, being judgmental is one of the signs of our condition of our sinful nature. We are often prone to looking at others and making judgmental calls and God judging them or being critical of others. But I tell you what, to remove those unhealthy attitudes, God will allow brokenness into our lives. You know, brokenness will always make us empathetic to the frailty of others. Let me help you understand this. You know, assuming that God allows some events into your life to the state that you were so broken that you lost your home and became homeless, then God showed mercy and you were able to recuperate and get back on your feet. Whenever you pass by a homeless person, You won't judge that person because you'll be more empathetic to that person. Or think about a situation that you entered a relationship, trusted a person, and the person betrayed you, and now you are left in pain. You will be more empathetic to those that have gone through the same ordeal, because the brokenness that you experience makes you more empathetic to the needs of others. And that's why God will allow brokenness into our life, because he wants us to be more empathetic. And I truly believe the same was true for Peter, because when the Lord Jesus revealed to Peter that he was going to betray him, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have been turned again, watch that, strengthen your brother. What Jesus was telling Peter is that, listen, you will be turned again, but I want you to now use this experience, the brokenness that will come from this failure, to use it as a way of being more empathetic, to strengthening others, to encouraging others, to use it as a form of lifting other people up. And I truly believe that is why Peter, even when reading through his epistle, was more empathetic, because Peter understood. He understood failure. He understood failure. David became more empathetic because David himself understands failure. And if you've ever failed, and if you've ever been broken, I truly believe you will be more empathetic to others that are going through, especially human frailty, because you understand, if not for God, there goes I, that I've been in that shoe before. I know what it is to be in that state. I know what it is to be buffeted. I know what it is to lose it all. I know what it is to cry in the midnight hour. I know what it is that everybody abandons you. I know what it is, so I can empathize with you. God will allow brokenness to make us more empathetic to the needs and the frailties of others. There's a final thing here I want you to glean from Peter's experience, and this is it. Brokenness is designed to remind us that this world is not our home. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I just said. Brokenness is designed to remind us that this world is not our home. You know, living a life of bliss in this world can make us hold on to things of this world so tightly. You know, we live in a world where there is no problems, and we tend to hold on to things. We hold on to our money so tightly. We hold on to our home so tightly. We hold on to everything so tightly. But this is the implication. Every time you hold on to this world tightly, you're letting loose of eternal things. Every time the world becomes important to you, every time the glitters and the mirage of this world becomes important to you, that means that the heavenly stuff are becoming less important. But do you realize that this is not your home? Do you realize that you're just aliens and strangers that are passing through? And at times, in order to make us focus on eternal things, in order to make us begin to remind us that this is not our home, to remind us that this world is not our home, God will allow brokenness. God will allow situations in your life that will make the material things so trivial. God will allow things in your life that will strip everything that you have materially, and then you will able now to see what is truly valuable. That if you lay in that hospital bed and you're going through a chemotherapy or going through radiation because you have cancer, and after they've done all, the doctor tell you, go home, I ain't got nothing else to help you out, and all the material things become trivial, at that point of brokenness, you are then reminded that heaven is the ultimate goal, that this world is not your home. And I truly believe that Peter himself later captured that, because in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter was able to remind his audience that, listen, that the time is going to come when the Lord will descend with a roar and the heavens will melt, the elements will melt. He said, because of this that is coming, what kind of people are you to be in holy conduct? Peter understood. His brokenness had made him to understand that God reminds him constantly that this world is not your home. You are just a stranger passing through. And I just stopped by this morning to allow you or to let you understand that discipleship, brokenness is a necessity when it comes to discipleship. And if you walk with Jesus, you will come a time when the Lord will allow some things into your experience that will break you. God will allow some things into your experience that will shake you. And in that shaking, God is not shaking you to break, to destroy you, but is shaking you to build you back up. Because in the breaking, God is not going to mold you afresh. He's going to use you afresh for the glory of his name. And I'm just so glad that I've been through that stage. I've known what it means to be broken, but yet I know that God is a God of restoration. That God, after he had broken you, he will restore you. He will restore you. He will restore you. But this morning, don't get it twisted. The walk of our faith is not a walk that is tender. It's a walk that requires brokenness. And God is seeking and looking to break those he will use for the walk of his kingdom. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning. God breaks us to use us. Let us pray. Oh, Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee and thank thee for the story of this man called Peter. Through his story this morning, we have come to understand what it means to be broken. Father, may thou now give the grace that each one of us this morning will walk circumspectly before thee, understanding that you, O God, are working things out for our good. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.